In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, our gospel text is the text for the sermon, the one in which Jesus heals a man who is deaf and a man who is mute. Can you put yourself into this man's shoes? Some of you can. Some of you are going a bit hard of hearing. So imagine going even harder of hearing. Some of you are a bit prone to being tongue-tied, especially when speaking to either a group of people or a particular group of people, particular persons. And so imagine always being tongue-tied, never being able to express with words. So put yourself there. You see, but you do not hear. You see others talking, but you do not know what they're doing. You can never tell a person exactly why it is that you are crying. You can never tell a person exactly why it is that you are sad, exactly why it is that you are anxious or angry or joyful and thankful. You can never ask the question to someone, what's going on with you? Why are you acting that way? You can never hear, nor can you ever speak the words, I love you. Even though you're surrounded by other people, you are locked up in a little world of your own, people who eat with you and who touch you, but for whom you can never fully come to know. Now, I think there is one word that encapsulates this man, that encapsulates all of this description that I have just given to you. This one word that describes how you can never fully express why it is that you're crying, why it is that you're sad, why it is that you are happy. The one word that expresses never fully hearing the words, I love you. And I want you to think what that one word is. I think it's one word encapsulates it the best, but maybe your word is a bit different. So here it is. On three, I want you to either think it or say it. You have your word? You have your word that describes this best. And you can think it. If you're wrong, that's okay. You can either say it out loud or you can think it out loud. Ready? One, two, three, go. Now here's the hint of the word that I'm thinking of. As our Lord created the heavens and the earth, he said it was good. And then he said it was very good. But there was one thing that was not good. And that was when he created Adam, and he realized that Adam did not have a helper suitable for him. It is not good for man to be alone. Loneliness, dear saints. It wasn't good at the beginning. It isn't good now, and it never will be. God did not create you to be lonely. He did not create a single human being to live locked up in their own little world. He created each and every one of us to be in perfect union and communion with himself and with each other. He created us to live together in love. Now, maybe you cannot fully sympathize with being deaf. Maybe you cannot fully sympathize with not being able to speak, but I bet that you can sympathize the feeling of isolation, of loneliness, of being surrounded with people in a crowd, but still feeling quite alone. I bet you can fully sympathize with not hearing or being able to speak fully the words, I love you. I bet you can sympathize with the feeling of not being able to express why it is that you are crying, why it is that you are mad, why it is that you are fearful and anxious, or why it is that you are also happy and joyful. I bet you can sympathize with the feeling of not understanding why it is that person is doing the thing that they are doing, why they are acting that way. And for you, hear what happens for this deaf and mute man. Suddenly, the people that surrounded this man, the ones who tried in vain to break through the walls of isolation, they realized that there was one who could break through. And they dragged him along to the one who can break through the walls of isolation. The Greek text in this passage seems to indicate as if they were carrying him along, pulling him along to bring them to Jesus. And suddenly, this man who cannot hear and this man who cannot speak sees that the man that he is brought to looks at him. And he looks at him in a way in which he realizes that he is no longer alone. And he takes him aside and, never breaking contact with his eyes, he communicates. He takes his fingers and he puts them in the man's ears. And then he spits. And then he touches the man's tongue. And then he looks up to heaven and he sighs. All to communicate this wonderful truth to this man, and all to communicate this wonderful truth to you, that Jesus is here for you. For this man, I'm going to heal your ears. I'm going to heal your speech. I have come to pray for you, and I am sighing because of the brokenness of this life, the brokenness of isolation and loneliness, the brokenness that your sin has caused you to be separate from others and separate from me. I have come for you, that it may end. And there are three miracles that happens. The first is that this man realizes that he is no longer alone. And the second miracle is that his hearing was healed. And the third miracle is that his speech was restored. He spoke plainly. Jesus broke through the walls of isolation. He brought the man out of this little prison into the joy and communion with himself and with his followers. And the miracle happened that he was no longer isolated or alone. Do you see the point? Do you understand what's happening here? That our Jesus came into this world to bring us out of lonely prisons and to bring us into joy, into communion with himself, his Father, and his Holy Spirit, and also in full communion with one another. It is so very important that Jesus takes this man away from the crowds first. This man who felt so lonely, this man who felt so isolated, Jesus separates him even more, but brings him to himself. In a way that he realizes that union and loneliness ends when there is communion with God. And he does the same with you. There is no separation between you and God. Your sin deserves that there be separation. You deserve God's wrath. You deserve to be alone. You deserve to be away from God. But your Jesus came to you and has full communion with you. You are baptized into him. You are united with him in a death like his. How much more will you be united with him in a resurrection like his? And he did this all by going into isolation himself. By praying from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus has gone to the place so that you might know that there is no place that you will ever go, that Jesus is not there. That you will find yourself everywhere in this life in a way in which he also is there too. In your sufferings, and even and especially in your dying. So, dear saints, your Jesus comes and asks, why are you crying? Why are you so mad? Why are you so anxious and fearful? Why are you so happy and so joyful? He knows you in a way in which no one will ever fully know. And he knows you in a way so that you might know that there is no longer isolation. There is no longer loneliness. And then you ask the question to God, why is it that you're doing things like this? Why is it that your son is hanging from the cross? Why is it that he is resurrected from the grave and says, peace be with you? Why is it that he has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty? Why is it that he has brought me to this place to hear these words? Why is it that he has baptized me? Why is it that he is going to feed me with his precious son's body and his precious son's blood? And the answer is so that you might know this beautiful answer. I love you. That you might know that your sufficiency comes not from yourself, but it comes from God. He brings you into communion with himself, and then a wonderful thing happens. He brings you into communion with each other. He puts you into a family that death cannot separate. Can you imagine that? That death has separated your family, that death has separated your friends, but that in the Holy Christian Church, you're brought into a family that death cannot separate. A family that just keeps on growing. A family that shares the same womb, the womb that is the baptismal font. And then he sends you out into a world where loneliness reigns. Into a world that is deaf to hearing God's voice. Into a world in which the tongues are tied to bitterness and anger and complaining and criticism. And he tells you that you cannot do it. That you are the friends that surround that isolation, and that you must realize that you can do nothing except one thing, and that is bring them to the one who can do something. Bring them to the one who can break through isolation. Bring them to the one that opens ears to hear voices, that God is good, and that his word is precious, his commandments are wonderful, and his promises are healing. And into a world in which tongues are opened to sing God's praises and kindness and joy and peace with each other. You're invited into a family that never stops gathering. Many family reunions are over, but this family reunion never stops. You're gathered into one holy table with one holy food. And this family is God's answer and God's gift to every loneliness that your heart experiences. In Jesus' name, amen.